Anyway, I was explaining that the course is based on this Holy Spirit momentum, this thrust that the scripture refers to as the apostles' teaching. The apostles who originally brought that teaching, we read of it in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2:42 says that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Those initial apostles were not themselves highly educated. They were well educated in all the ordinary ways of Jewish men who had spent years in the synagogue and had been properly taught the scriptures, but they did not have higher learning, which is why the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, referred to them as unlearned men. They'd been schooled in the usual way and knew the scriptures, but they were not academics in their day. And yet it was these men that the Lord used to bring to the church the true apostolic doctrine of the faith. He did not initially use highly educated or academic men. Now, he brought them in, no doubt. Paul is the prime example of that, and that was required. Such a person who could take all the Old Testament scripture and bring out the mystery of Christ and interpret in a way that Jew and Gentile both could understand was very important. But the initial apostolic doctrine of the church came from fishermen and the like. And yet, they had huge strengths, and I list these four. And these are four qualities that you'll find in apostolic doctrine, but we certainly find it in these original apostles. Number one was they knew the scriptures. So even someone who has not had an academic education is not hindered from reading and reading the scriptures and coming to a place of great familiarity with them, helped by the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how much you can understand scripture by reading and the help of God, and we'll come to more of that in a moment. The second thing that those apostles had going for them was that they'd been taught by the Lord. And every Christian today should have some element going on in their life of being taught by the Lord. The third thing, though, and this should be of great interest to you and to everybody, is that there came a day, it followed the resurrection of our Lord and just prior to his ascension, but there came a day when he met with his apostles, the 11, and scripture says he opened their minds to understand scripture. I'm going to read that passage to you in a moment. This is a very important thing. Here were men who, in the course of their lives, had spent many years learning the scriptures, so they were familiar with the scriptures. They had been long involved in synagogue life and in the temple worship, so they were entirely familiar with all the Old Testament background of Christ. On top of that, they'd had 3 years personal instruction by the Lord Jesus. That's significant input. And yet, this event we're about to read of comes at the end of those 3 years after his resurrection. There's a reason, of course, that until the Christ was crucified and resurrected, it was not fitting. The time had come to fully open their minds to understand the meaning of what he had done. He was fulfilling the scriptures, but a lot of it had to remain veiled until it was fully done. There are reasons for that. I won't go into them. But here is what is written in Luke 24, verses 44-45. He said to them, this is Jesus, said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." In describing the Old Testament scriptures, that's why he's referring to all its parts. He's saying that all the parts of scripture were speaking of him and had to be fulfilled. And it's immediately following that, it says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, it does not tell us how he opened their minds. It doesn't say if he laid hands on them. It doesn't say if he breathed on them. It doesn't say whether he gave a command. But here is a clear exercise of authority from the risen Christ that by speaking a word, someone's mind, now you bear in mind, this, the people to whom he's speaking are already believers. They followed the Christ for 3 years. They already have the Holy Spirit because in the same gospel, he has previously breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Not only that, they've been ministering out of authority for 3 years. They've been going out preaching and had authority to cast out demons and heal sickness and preach the kingdom. So here we are dealing with believers in Christ, followers of Christ, who've already devoted their lives and have had a lifetime of background in scriptural education. And yet a day came when Christ said they needed to understand the scriptures, and he opened their minds to do so. And the reason I bring this up is because at the beginning of this course, and I think often during the rest of your life, you need to be seeking the Lord for greater understanding. You must not assume that because you've been born again and have the Holy Spirit, that you therefore have all the understanding you can have. The truth is you can have a great deal more and it can grow. You can be added to. You can go from strength to strength in your ability to deeply understand the Holy Scriptures. And it becomes a prime need right here at the beginning of a course like this, that your eyes are opened, the eyes of your heart are opened to really understand Scripture. And you'll be amazed as you go along and reading the scriptures, how suddenly something you're reading, you realize, connects with something else over here in the Bible. I spend a lot of my time these days doing my own cross-referencing. I see that. And so I'm busy with my fingers in a few places, scribbling next to the text, so I'll remember when I'm reading one, how to find the other. The scripture is so integrated, and it is just astounding to me what a whole and complete work it is. And you know, the immeasurable wisdom of God that has written and prepared that book. And yet you sit here with so little knowledge compared with what is in there, so little understanding. But if Christ could give a word that opens the minds of those, he can give a word that opens your mind and my mind. And this is a very important thing. And I'm going to be suggesting that you take this up in your prayers, and I will pray for you here tonight before we finish. I will pray and I will ask the Lord to open your minds to understand Scripture. In fact, I'll speak a command in the spirit realm for your mind to be opened, the eyes of your heart to be opened. But you must put some believing into that. You must put faith into it and pray your own prayers and be seeking God. I prayed this kind of prayer without knowing it was really a biblical prayer. I prayed this prayer sitting on my bed every night for a year when I was a 15-year-old, and it made a huge difference. And the New Testament everywhere refers to the fact that we can grow in understanding and in wisdom and knowledge, and we're meant to. It says, for example, well, actually, Paul has a good prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says, "I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know." And he goes on to list some things. And so to pray so as to have the power to grasp or the power to understand, to pray to come into deeper ability to take a hold of things with your heart and your mind. This should be normal Christian prayer. And when I go to Colossians chapter 2, right here Paul explains in verses 2 and 3 his purpose the reason he works so hard in teaching the saints. He says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And then note, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The other great thing they had, they were full of the Holy Spirit. You can't take that for granted. You can't assume because you've got these other three that that's automatic. No, Christ opened their minds to understand Scripture before he ascended. But it was after he ascended, he poured out the Holy Spirit and they had a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here and available to all, but there is never a sense in which any one of us have all of the Holy Spirit we could obtain. But these fellows who preached up public, stood up publicly as the apostles of Christ and preached and produced for the church the apostolic doctrine that so brought that church into apostolic life, they were full of the Holy Spirit. And so they had these four qualities, and I would hasten to comment that any real apostle would have these qualities and would seek constantly to have these qualities so that they might minister to the church. I should answer a question that ought to be asked if it wasn't about to be, and it is, can apostles make a mistake in what they teach? We will hold that what is written in the Scriptures is without error. So anything that the apostles wrote, like the prophets, is without error. But this does not mean that an apostle in real life, and that's what you have now, does not at times make mistakes. But the same fellows who, when they wrote, with the help of the Holy Spirit, wrote something that was error-free, could make mistakes in life, as we know from reading the Scriptures that Peter did. And Paul too, if you know how to read it, they can make mistakes and have to correct themselves. They learn on the job, of course, as we do. And my role is not to write Scripture. So whether it's a lecture or writing a book, we strive to be accurate and for this to be fully biblical, but it does not mean that we don't keep thinking about it, that we might not find something that we might think, oh, that ought to be improved or adjusted. No, we can, of course, we are not without error at all. But if these things are in place, you are hugely assisted in teaching the church and therefore bringing the church into what is a true grace.